Good to see everybody here with us tonight. Just a couple things before we get into our lesson. I did not have an opportunity to put it on PowerPoint. I was asked last night when I got in from our trip if I could preach tonight. So it was kind of a quick thing. I wasn't scheduled to preach, so I said, sure, I can do that. Here am I, send me, right? So anyway, you know, in our society today, we have a lot of those, and I kind of fall into it. I'm sure you probably do too. A lot of those quick fixes, you know, like those diet pills that I try to get on or whatever, you know, whatever it might be or anything, you know, all those things that the newest and the greatest I'm kind of intrigued with some of the stuff. Some of the stuff they come out with these days is pretty slick. I mean, Gene was making fun of our cell phones in our meeting earlier. This is the first year I used my cell phone when I was hunting to actually pick up the topography of the land, which is pretty fascinating that I can get on top of a mountain and find out what's over the hill just by looking up on my phone. But what if I had something for you, and I think I do, that can do all these things, and it's just one little word. It can bring you forgiveness in 1 John chapter 1. It can bring you freedom from fear in Psalms 118. It can bring you strength for your souls in Psalms 138. It can bring you guidance and satisfaction in your life in Isaiah 58. It can bring you wisdom and understanding in Daniel chapter 9. It can bring you deliverance from harm in Joel chapter 2. It can bring you rewards in Matthew chapter 6. It can bring good gifts in Luke chapter 11. It can bring you fullness of joy in John 16. It can bring you peace in Philippians 4. It can bring you freedom from anxiety in 1 Peter chapter 7. And if you haven't guessed what I'm talking about, is prayer. How's your prayer life? I've been thinking about doing a lesson on this for a little while, and being that I was out of town hunting for 2 weeks and had a lot of opportunity to pray and do things. And I kind of question myself and my own prayers. So I want to tell you a little story, a little situation. I'll set it up here for just a minute. So there was a guy in a certain town, a certain city actually, and he won a raffle. And the raffle was they had a world-renowned chef in that city. And the raffle was that he won is that the chef would come over to his house and set up in his backyard his whole kitchen and prepare a meal for him and his family of whatever they wanted. So what happened the day before this was supposed to happen, I don't know what day it was, say it was on a Saturday, say Friday, they came over and the trucks came and they brought out all this stuff for cooking, this refrigerators and all this kind of stuff, and got all set up this whole kitchen in this guy's backyard. You know, so, and the plan was the next morning, on Saturday morning, this gentleman would tell this world-renowned chef what him and his family would like for dinner. And he would fix it, spend all day, and they would serve it to him that night. So the next day, if it was Saturday morning, you know, came time, the chef shows up, you know, and the whole entourage and all that, you can imagine what was happening. And the owner of this raffle comes out, and they said, okay, what do you want this chef to cook for you? And the owner says, well, I really thought about this, but I think I'll have 2 eggs over easy and a piece of toast. Don't we do that with God? Here we have this all-powerful God that can do so many things and wants to do so many things for us. And in our prayers, we ask for 2 eggs over easy and a piece of toast. Think about, pretty obvious, who you would think of that was obviously the strongest individual, the one who always made the right decisions, always had things down, always knew what his goal was, and that is Jesus Christ. How did he use prayer? You know, you think he was God in the flesh. You know, did he need to go to his Father in prayer? Yeah. I want to read some passages, examples of Jesus and his prayers, or some of the things he did. In Matthew chapter 14, Matthew chapter 14, picking up the reading in verse 23. It says, I know we're breaking into all these contexts, but it's okay. And after he sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, picking up our reading, starting verse 36 through 39. Matthew 26, 36. Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as thou wilt." Mark chapter 1. In verse 35, "And in the early morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there." Luke chapter 5. Verse 15. Said, "But the news about him was spreading even farther, and great multitudes would gather to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. And he himself would often slip away to the wilderness to pray." Luke chapter 9. Verse 18. "And it came about that while he was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and they questioned him, saying, 'Who do the multitudes say that I am?'" In chapter 9, verse 29, it says, "And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothing became white and gleaming." At the transfiguration, he realized that he was praying when he was transformed. Do we practice that? Do I go to a silent place? Do I go into the wilderness? Do I go outside? We see where Jesus is so dependent upon prayer. And all those things that I mentioned, I'll just mention a couple of forgiveness and rewards and freedom from my anxiety and strength and all those things. We can all have those through prayer. Jesus relied upon prayer, and he very much used it. You know, not just, and it's great, we should do that, not just that I pray before I have a meal, but do I go off by myself? Are there times in my life when I go off and I pray to God just in loneliness, just being alone? I don't think I do enough. That's why I thought about this, you know. I mean, if we're truly going to use the example of Jesus, the example of how strong he was and able to go through, I'm sure so much of this is God answering his prayer. So in my weakness and when I fall short, do I go to God in prayer as I should? I don't feel like I do often enough. You? Do we do that? A couple other things that Jesus did. He prayed in John 17. We won't read it. It's just what's commonly called the farewell, the priestly prayer, the prayer for unity. The whole chapter addresses it. He's praying for, you know, praying to God for the unity of the brethren. He knows that, you know, right after that, he was arrested and tried and crucified. He knew that. But we read that whole prayer that he pleads with the Father to take care of his people. Do we do that? What do we pray for? Do I pray for wisdom? Do we understand that even some of our prayers can overcome what we might even think of as physical things? Earthquakes. Remember they prayed and the jail doors were opened. It's amazing what prayer can do. Jesus prayed also. You remember he prayed for Peter. Remember when Peter was so confident and said, you know, I'll never leave you. And the Lord prayed for him. Prayed that the devil might not take him. Do we pray for one another? Do we have confidence in that? So let's talk about the Lord's Prayer, as it's commonly called. And we'll go to Matthew chapter 6, and I want to kind of go through that. And maybe it'll help us in our prayers. I think about prayer before we get into this, I think a little bit different than people do. I've said this before. If I just ask you, what is prayer? What does prayer do? How would you answer that? Answer that to yourselves. What is prayer? Is it communicating with God? I believe so. But I don't typically answer it that way. Is it that we trust God and we, you know, we pray to Him from our heart? We communicate that way? I believe so. But I have a little different word for it. I think it's dependence. We're going to read here in Matthew chapter 6 that God knows what I need. God knows what I'm going to pray for. God knows my heart. He knows everything. Why does he need me to ask him? He doesn't need my prayer. But I do. I need to depend upon God. And I think in our prayers, that's what we show. You know, if you're a parent, that sometime in your life, you knew your kids needed something. You knew they needed help. You knew they needed whatever. But you just didn't jump in there and do it. You wanted them to what? Depend upon you and ask. Even though you already knew what they needed. And I think that's the way God is. God knows what we need. God knows everything. God knows what's going to happen to me in the future, what's happened to me in the past. He knows if my heart's right. He doesn't need that. But I do. He wants me to depend upon Him. So let's read in Matthew chapter 6, we'll pick up our reading in verse 5. Let's go ahead and read through it and then we'll come back and discuss it. Matthew 6, starting in verse 5, we'll read down to verse 15. Jesus speaking here and it says, "When you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have the reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men of their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. So notice, let's go back to it in verse 5. When you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners. When we pray, we do not do it to be seen by men. Isn't that right? Because if that's our attitude, then what? Then when men see us and they say, oh, he's pretty good, that's your reward and that's all you get. That's what he says. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. That's what they're going to get. They're going to just get the, pleasing other men. Nothing from God. But when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Do we practice that? We saw examples, we read some examples of Jesus doing what? Moving away from people and going to a silent place to pray. And it wasn't just, I don't get the impression, I think you would agree, it wasn't just that he went off here and he prayed for 30 seconds and came back. He gets up early in the morning, goes out and prays. Who knows how long? An hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, I don't know. But I think there's a lesson there for us. Would it be beneficial in my life to do that kind of thing? To set aside some time and go to a silent place and pray for an hour or two or three. Verse 7, when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetitions as Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for the many words. It's not what you say. It's not this lengthy prayer. I think it's more of reliance and dependence upon God. That's what we're doing in our prayers. Verse 8, therefore do not be like them, for the Father knows what you need before you ask them. God already knows. So why does he want us to pray? That's my point. We need to depend upon God. We rely upon him. It's not that we're telling him something he doesn't know. Not that we're asking for something, but we still need to do it. We talked about in our class this morning. I'm not going to get into it tonight or else we'll be here all night. Can we change the mind of God? Can we pray for people? Can we pray for things and influence how God works? Yes. Yes, we can. So when we're praying for different things, whether it be for myself or for others, which is another point I wanted to make. I'll also make it now instead of later. How do you pray? Have you ever thought about just praying for others and nothing for yourself? That's hard. I've tried that. Kind of hard. Because you always want to say something, give me this. No, I can't say that, Just praying for others. Aren't we really here to serve one another? Are we putting others first? Are we asking God to help others? Praying for them? God already knows. Verse 9, pray then in this way. Our Father who art in heaven, we're addressing God. kind of interesting. Terry and I just had a situation. I have a good close friend who is a Lutheran pastor. He came up to hunt with me Monday through Thursday. I never noticed it before because I've heard his prayers before, and I didn't ask him, but I'm going to ask him. It was really interesting because I don't know if he addressed his prayers to Jesus. It wasn't to God the Father, which kind of threw me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just ignorant. Maybe that is Lutheran doctrine. I don't know. But his prayers were definitely addressed to Jesus. But what does this tell us? Our prayers will be to be addressed to the Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What does it mean to be hallowed? Holy is your name, God. Jesus is telling us to pray to the Father. We pray through Jesus, but we pray to God. Jesus is that intercessory between us and God. But our prayers go to God through Jesus. So he's telling us, we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We give him the respect that he has earned, that he is due. Thy kingdom come. We realize this in the time frame, that the kingdom being the church that Christ established, that Jesus is praying for it to be established. So does this give us some authority or something to think about? Do we pray for the church? Do we pray for the people of God? That's what Jesus is praying here. Thy kingdom come, the church come. That was within the mind and the plan of God from day one. Do we pray for that? That's what we need to pray for. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Are we praying for God's will to be done? Or are we praying for our wills to be done? It's a difficult balance, isn't there? Sometimes I feel I'm asking God for something that I want, but then I say, according to your will, but, you know, please be swayed this way. You know, isn't that kind of your, you know, well, I want this, Lord, but I know it's your will, but, you know, go this way, like we talked about this morning in our class also. When God called Moses, and he said, I want you to be my spokesman. Moses, oh, no, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do that. But whatever you want to do, whoever you want to send, you know, that's the way it should be. Well, I want you to go. Well, I don't want to go. You know, it's pretty crazy, isn't it? Do we do that? Do we ask for things, you know, kind of, oh, God, please, but I know it's according to your will, but please kind of be swayed this way? Are we truly depending upon God and leaving it up to him? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we can throw in now, we know that on Tuesday most of us will go out and vote. Should we be praying for God's will to be done in the election that we look forward to in another couple of days? I think absolutely. We want God's will to be done on earth, as we know, is done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice the dependence that is put into this passage. Give me food to eat for the rest of my life. That's not what it says. Give us this day. Give me what I need for today. Tomorrow has enough care for itself. Give me this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Interesting there, if you look up the words here, the debt here is the debt of our sins. So you can really put in the sins here. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. So do we surely ask God to forgive us of the sins that we commit? Yes. But we also have to be willing to forgive others that have sinned against us. We know that lesson. We know that lesson. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Is this teaching me that God will lead me into temptation? No. The structure here, if you get into the Greek, is don't allow me to fall into temptations, transgressions. Help me with that. Are we praying for that? Are we praying for God's strength You know, one of the points that I brought up in Psalms chapter 138, strength for our soul. We can pray for that. Right? What was that? Verse 13. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Interesting statement. It's not that little section there is probably got parentheses around. It wasn't in a lot of the original manuscripts. Whether it was there originally, I don't know. But the point is that really concludes the prayer. That once again, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Referring to God. So how simple is that prayer? There it is. That's the extent of it. The other two passages here are talking about the prayer. The extent of it is what? In verse 9, acknowledge who God is. Right? Acknowledge the church, God's people. Are we praying for God's people? Are we praying for God's will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven? And then what? Give us what we need to sustain ourselves. Forgive us of our sins. And help us not to be led into transgressions. That's it. Pretty simple. There's a lot there. But that's the quote-unquote model prayer. That's how Jesus is teaching us to pray. Now that doesn't mean, and just say this, that doesn't mean that we recite that prayer as sadly some religions do, because we have so many other prayers, like I had mentioned, you know, in John chapter 17, Jesus' farewell prayer, he didn't recite this. This is just a pattern for us. Jesus prayed for a lot of other things, so our prayers don't recite this, but this gives us the framework of what our prayers should be. So how do you fall into that? How is your prayer life? If we're weak, I would suggest to you now that we pray more. That we learn to rely upon God in our prayers. There's many things that we can do, but just tonight we're talking about prayers. Or we're going to go to God and say, I'll have two eggs over easy and a piece of toast. We have this all-powerful, almighty God that loves us and wants to help us. And I'm sure if we go to him with the right hearts and the right attitude and saying, God, please help me with the temptation that I'm in right now, he's going to say, oh, no, you take care of yourself. He wants us to be faithful to him. He wants us ultimately to receive. Let's go ahead and turn to it in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Let's pick up a reading in verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some of our prayers are confession. I confess my sins to God. As a Christian who's already been baptized, that's what I do, as it says here. Confess your sins. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So where are you? Are you a Christian? Are you going to God in prayer, confessing your sins to him to receive forgiveness? Or are you going to God in prayer in those quiet alone times, in relying upon him, asking him for different things, for guidance, for wisdom, for strength, for all those things that we talked about? How's your prayer life? Mine is not as good as it can be. I think we'd probably all say that. But I would encourage you to think this week to Just don't do your standard, and I hate to say it that way, but standard run-of-the-mill prayers like you pray in the morning, you pray at night, you pray before you eat a meal or whatever. Take a special time. Go to a special place. It can be in your own home, wherever, but just spend some time, spend more time in prayer. Let Jesus be the example for you of him setting aside time to spend in communication with God. I think it benefits you spiritually. If you're in need of any way, as we know, as we just talked about, you know, it comes to sin, you know, we as Christians, we still have sin in our lives and we need to confess that before God. But there's times when we can confess that before men, before others, so that we can ask for prayers of the brethren here. So if you're in need of any way, in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing.